In our text here tonight, the message is going to be a little philosophical. I'm going to put some Bible philosophy with it, and it's teaching that definitely you're going to see comes strongly from the Bible, but you're going to have to listen tonight like you did this morning. And by the way, I really thank the Lord for this morning, the message. I asked everybody to listen, and honestly, the Lord did a work in my heart this morning, and I was very, very thankful for that. Tonight, you look there at Romans chapter 7, and look at verse number 7, and there's one word that I'm going to draw off of. It says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." What's the word covet mean? It's very important that you understand this. The word covet means to desire eagerly, to wish for, to long for. It also means a burning desire. It also means inordinate or out of place, longing or lust. The word covet is used for the first time in the Bible. What? When God said, thou shalt not covet. There's some things that God says we're supposed to be in command of our desires. We're supposed to be in control of our wants. You say, well, I just want that. Well, God says your wanter is supposed to be sanctified, and that's what I want to show you tonight. The title of the message is Desires and Appetites. God said that for the first time in the Bible, the word covet, two times in one verse, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet or desire eagerly or wish for or long for thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, and God makes a list, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God says it again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He's going to go through the Ten Commandments, and he's going to say, neither shalt thou, here's a word for covet, that neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house. So the word is used negatively there. God says, make sure that thou shalt not covet. In the New Testament, it's used two times positively. Just listen closely. God says, covet earnestly the best gifts. There are some things that I'm supposed to eagerly want. But your wanter is only so big. And if you want this, and this, and this, and this, then when it's time to want God, you don't have any want left. Well, I just don't want the Bible. I don't think that's a sign whether you're saved or not. I think it's a sign of, are you in control of your desires? Are you in control of your wants? You say, are you sure? Listen closely to these verses here. What do these verses mean? Psalm 145:19. He, God, will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. God doesn't say He will fulfill your desires. He says He will fulfill the desires of them that fear Him. How about Proverbs 10:24? The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The desire of the righteous. And in Proverbs, one more chapter down, 11:23, it says, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. I want to help us tonight understand our desires and appetites and handling them scripturally. Having control over yourself is one of the greatest qualities that you can have. You conquering you. Amen? Me conquering me. Me keeping myself under control. God says here in Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And listen to this. He that ruleth or takes command of his spirit or his attitude than he that taketh the city. God said one of the greatest conquerings you can ever conquer is yourself. And you get controlling of you. Proverbs 17:28, listen closely. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. If you can watch somebody that has enough self-control to shut their mouth, God says, he may not be wise, but he's going to be marked as wise. They're going to go, wow, that guy, he knows how to keep his mouth shut. He's got control. He has self-control. The last part of the verse says, "He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Tonight, I want you to understand something. Riches are when your haves equal your wants. That's when you're rich. No, you're rich if you make this much, and you're rich if you have this. Nuh-uh. You're rich tonight if your haves equal your wants. There are only two ways to be rich. Are you ready? Either raise your haves to equal your wants, or trim your wants to equal your haves. You say, why? Because when you're rich is when your wants equal what you have. Okay? There is no one who is wealthier than I am if no one has anything I want. Did you hear what I said? Nobody's wealthier than me if nobody has anything that I want. If I have all I want, then I'm richer than those who have more but still want more. You understand? I'm rich. I'm richer than those who have more, but yet still want more. So, there are three things in this world. Are you ready? And I got several lists of three tonight, so just listen. Either there is what I have, there's what I do not have that I can have. I could set a goal, I could save, I could get that. Okay? And then, there's also things that I cannot have ever. Right? Just because I want it doesn't make it right. By the Word of God tells me what my desires should be set on, and we'll look at that here in a little bit. There are three attitudes I could have. Are you ready? There is a happy attitude, which means I want what I have. I don't want anything else. And most people, okay, learn happiness is when you want what you have. You say, do you want your car? I like my car. The paint is missing on the front bumper, and it's a custom flake job. Nobody has paint missing on their bumper like I do. You say, well, do you want a newer car? I like my car. I can stand before you tonight and say, I want what I have. I feel very blessed. Okay? I want what I have. There are three attitudes. I'm happy if I want what I have. I have an acceptable attitude if I want what I can have but don't have now. So I can set a goal, or I can save, or I can one day do that. And the unhappiest attitude is when I want what I cannot have ever. I must not, as a Christian, allow myself to want something that God says is a no-no. But there are people who do that. One day, I don't know why I can't have that. And I don't know. They're unhappy people because they want what they cannot have. There are three conclusions. Are you ready? I want what I have. I can have that conclusion. I will accept what I can have. And then I will not want what I cannot have. I have to take control of my wants. Can you take your Bible and let's look at this? It's a great passage on contentment. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading in verse 3. 1 Timothy 6, 3. This is a wonder. Open your Bible anywhere. It's all good. Amen. All right. Now, specifically, this is a wonderful passage here on teaching a Christian to be content. Watch this. Look at verse number 3. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the words of God, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. You know what that's saying? People who are materialistic, the more you have, the more toys you have, that determines your success. God says that type of thinking, it will kill you spiritually. Anybody who thinks gain is godliness, or if you're right with God, God will bless you with material blessings and you'll have the gold and the cars and the clothes and the... That's false teaching. Tell that to the Christians that were hiding out in the caves and that were beaten and banished through the years. And they did right and went soul winning. And yet they raised their family in caves. Gain is not always godliness. God says be very careful. In America, that's probably one of the things we have to guard against the most. They always say, what's a businessman do if his company starts to fail? If his business starts to fail? And they teach this. They go out and they buy a new car because you want to appear successful. If your business is, and you know, if it ends up bankrupting, then you just end up, you take the hit. But you go out and you buy a car because you want to look successful. That type of thinking is dangerous and it has no place in the Christian life. It has no place. Supposing dangerous thinking is supposing that gain is godliness. And God says, from such, withdraw thyself. I don't want to hang around people like that. Watch this. Verse 6 should be marked in your Bible. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Do you know how much Mr. Rothschild left when he died? I love this. All of it. He didn't leave 99% or 90%. He left all of it. One of the richest men in the world. Guess you want to know how much J.P. Morgan left when he died? All of it. We took nothing into this world, and you will take nothing out of this world except what you send on ahead. Amen? Now here, godliness with contentment is great gain for a Christian. Learning how to be content. Because tonight, you're either one of two C words. You are either content or you are covetous. And you're always longing for something. Look, satisfaction and being content is because of what you are. It is not because of what you have. It is because of your character and your self-control that you are a satisfied, content Christian. If you are covetous tonight, then you need to get a hold of yourself, and that's what I want to encourage you to do. Let's keep reading here. Watch this. Look at verse number 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith, there's that word, content. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare. You have to read the verse very carefully. It does not say a rich person falls into a snare. It says they that will be rich. What that means is this, those who want it, the money at all costs. One day before I'm 30, I'm going to be a millionaire. They that will to be rich, they that desire it strongly, God says, hurt themselves. You're not supposed to want money. It takes money to live. We have to have money. Money makes, you know, money, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, money answereth all things. In other words, money makes the world go round. You got to have it to live, but you're not supposed to live for it. You're not supposed to live for it. Let's keep on reading here. Look at this, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. One of the men in my Sunday school class said, I have an opportunity to get into this business, and I'm not... I don't, you know, whether it's Amway or any pyramid scheme or all of that. He said, oh, this is going to be great. I said, all of those pyramiding programs, they play off of one thing, greed. Greed. I said, I don't think you're stealing. I don't think any of that. And he said, you want to get in with me? I said, no, I don't do those ever. Ever. I don't care if you write my name under it. And you're going to do the selling, but you want me to get the product. I said, do not put me in that stuff. Ever. I don't want to get bit. Look, I'm a man, and I know my limitations. And I do not want that temptation in my life. I said, I do not want it. Here, they fall into many hurtful lusts. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. God never says that money is the root of evil. He says it's the love of it is the root. How come the border is still open? How come we have so many illegals coming across? Because there's a lot of money involved. You mean we got satellites that can take pictures of the freckles on the nose in your backyard, and they can't stop the immigration stuff, the illegal? No, there's more to it than that. It's a money issue. You say, we got a real drug problem here in southern Maryland. I mean, it used to be one of the drug capitals there. That's not the issue. They could stop the drug trafficking anytime they wanted, but there's too much money involved. Ask any police officer. And liquor, they could stop any of that they wanted. I'm telling you, the sin is not the issue. It's people in high places who are making money from it, and that's why it's not fixed. The love of money is the root. Anytime you find something that's not right, you can know for sure there's a lot of money involved. Life gets cheap with those type of people. Watch this. Look at verse 10 again. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know what I learned? You can't serve God and mammon. Jesus said that. You will either hold to the one and despise the other, or you'll cling to the one and love the other. I can serve God and mammon. You can only serve one. Nobody can serve both. Well, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through. Look at verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So tonight, you're either content or you are covetous. If you have, can I show you, it's a famous verse a lot of us use for giving eternal security. You're in 1 Timothy, go over about four books and go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 5. Now, we all quote, I think we quote the last part of the verse. Okay? But I want to read the whole verse. Watch this. Look at verse Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. And be, there's that word, content with such things as ye have. For he, Jesus, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you know how come we're supposed to be content? Because as a Christian, if you have the Lord Jesus living in your heart and you're praying like you should for your needs and your wants, you don't need anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because He lives inside of me. And if I have Jesus, I have everything I need. Let your conversation be without covetousness, but learn how to be content because you have Christ living in you. You have Christ living in you. And you know what? If you don't have it yet, but you want it, then God must think you don't need it yet. So why don't you pray about it and then go ahead and be content and quit being covetous. Quit being covetous. Watch this. If you get very excited over what people give you, then you wanted those things before you got them. You should be happy and excited over what you already have. I will accept what is given, but I won't wish or long for it. Somebody gave me a new suit, and I thought that was very kind of them. But I wasn't wanting a new suit. You understand? I wasn't walking around, I hope somebody gives me a new suit. Okay. I wasn't thinking that way. Did I like the suit when somebody gave it? Sure, that was very nice. But I didn't want it. But I was obviously grateful for it. Covetousness or the wrong appetites will destroy you. And I'm going to have, you're in the New Testament, I'm going to read a Proverbs. I want you to go to Colossians, all right? I'll read Proverbs. You go to Colossians chapter 3. Watch this. Covetousness or not being in control of your wanter will destroy you if you aren't careful. You're in Colossians. Just listen closely while I read Proverbs. Surely in vain the net is set in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Listen, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye. That's what's wrong with gambling. They're looking to get rich quick. He that is greedy of gain, be very careful. Be very careful what you allow yourself to want, because if you live for money and you're covetous, God says it'll take away your life. It shortens your lifespan. It shortens your lifespan. You're in Colossians chapter 3. Watch this. Look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and all of this is dealing with immorality. That whole verse, every word in there, longing for things you cannot have that are immoral. Watch this, and covetousness, which is idolatry. God says when you want something eagerly more than you want Him, that's idolatry. Man, if I could just get that, if I could just, I gotta have it, God says, when was the last time you wanted me as bad as you want that? That's why covetousness is idolatry. Because it replaces, you only have so much want. You can only desire so much. And if you want this, and this, and this, then when it comes time for church, and it comes time for God, and it comes time for the Lord, I just don't have anything left. I mean, I like God and everything, but I don't desire Him. I used up my desire on sports and entertainment and video games, and we can make a whole list. I just don't have anything left. I mean, I don't hate God. I don't want Him. I don't want Him. There's three things to do. Three things to do. Enjoy what I have. Do not seek what I can have. Pray about it, in other words, and let God give it to me. And then do not show me what I cannot have. There are three things to decide. I need to decide to be around what I have. I need to decide to do not flee what I can have. It's okay to set goals and things like that. That's fine. But I need to hide from what I cannot have. Hide from what I cannot have. There's three dangers. To be around what I cannot have, that's dangerous. Because you can't be around it long enough and not start wanting it. If you can't resist it, then stay away from it and avoid it. To be around, there's another danger. To be around people who have what I cannot have. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. That's normally what we tell look, a poor boy can't marry a rich girl. She's never had to do without. Now, you can have a poor girl marry a rich boy. You say, why? Because every man wants to make his wife happy, but he can only deal with so much of, honey, can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Every man wants his wife happy. Every man wants his wife happy. That's normally why we say, you probably need to marry your own kind, you know what I mean? Or you're going to have to protect yourself against marital problems. Okay? How about this? There are three dangers. The third one is to be made aware of what I cannot have. We want too many things that we do not have. First place that my wife and I worked, I'll give you a small testimony. We went to a place in Missouri. It was a 3,000-acre ranch. It was in the Ozarks, literally one of the most beautiful places that we've ever seen, about 10 miles above Arkansas. We were in Missouri there. Beautiful. The owner was a multimillionaire. He'd given many millions of dollars to missions. Okay? Owned the house that the guy lived in. It was a custom built. You know how you build a house out of 2x4s? His house was custom built out of 4x4s. You understand? You know how everything's normally 16 inches on center? His was 12 inches on center. He had a fort for a house. viewers. Now, if you got the money to do that, God bless you. I don't think that's sinful. But as boys, my wife taught as boys, and they each had their own moped, and they were 10 and 11, and one of them had a shotgun. It was a big, and when we say shotgun, we ain't talking grandpa's. We're talking like a Browning gas-powered, you know, I mean, these... These are nice shotguns. And this 10-year-old boy, and literally my wife would teach him, and then they'd take a break for 10 minutes because she was their teacher, and they'd go out and they'd shoot birds and shoot all that. The other boy had a Browning 22 rifle. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those. That's a $500 gun. Browning's pretty, you know, it's up there. Okay, it's a rich person gun, all right? My wife and I did not have kids yet. And I'm watching, and these are nice boys too, by the way. When they hunt, I mean, I hunted deer year round. We could kill all the deer. I killed deer every week. It was great. Okay, it was super. It was a spiritual Disneyland. Okay, that I can tell you. I killed Bambi every week. Okay, and it was super. But I knew we had to leave. Those boys were used to a lifestyle. They raced garden tractors. They built the garden. Grandpa built the garden tractor, and I mean, they put thousands of dollars into those. Have you ever seen those? I mean, racing garden tractor. I mean, the mower deck's gone, and it's got the pipes coming out of it. And these boys grew up doing that. I said, "How much was that?" "No, oh, that's about 10 grand right there." You know, that's out of my league. I don't have any problem. I don't think that's sinful. But my wife and I decided, we can't stay here. I'll never make that type of money, and I cannot raise my kids around his kids. His kids were raised by a millionaire. Do you understand? They had literally, they wanted for nothing. It was new everything. You understand? And they were nice kids. They were yes sir, no sir. I mean, they were respectable kids, and I'm not saying they were brats. They weren't that way. But I knew I couldn't put my kids around his kids. They had go-karts, everything. I couldn't afford that for my kids. So I will not allow myself to be around what I cannot have. Do you understand? Do you understand? I want. So we moved and moved to Tennessee, and I was an assistant pastor there. There are three goals. I've already told you the three danger. There's three goals. To not allow the object to create my desire. I have another goal, to allow God to decide my desires. I have another goal, to make my wants equal my haves. I want to be content as a Christian. I do not want to be a covetous Christian. I didn't know I wanted it until I saw the stupid commercial. Our kids never saw commercials until, I think, 3 years ago. Remember that when we had the TV? And then, of course, Christmas time, who do they target? The kids. Because the kids then see it, and then they go, "Mommy, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that." My kids had never seen a commercial. We had a DVD player and a tube in our house, but they'd never seen, "You need to ask your parents for this, because this, wait, there's more." I mean, they'd never seen that. They'd never been subjected to that. And I remember watching my kids watch these commercials, and I was, you know, you say, "What do we get them for Christmas?" Same thing we always do. Go to Dollar Tree, give them $10 a piece, and you all buy a dollar gift for each other. It's wonderful, okay? We didn't change a thing, but they were like, "Man, this plastic stuff, this ain't nothing like the loop-de-loop and all the other stuff that they'd seen on TV." I didn't know I wanted it until I saw the commercial. Window shopping makes you covetous. I didn't say window shopping was. I didn't say shopping was sinful. If you have the money and you can spend it, then shop till you drop, ladies. If you don't have the money, could I ask you the question? If you're putting it all on plastic, what are you doing in the store? To look at it, my eye affects my heart. And when I see it, I didn't want it until I saw it. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't have one of those, do I?" I'll never forget, I was collecting tools as I was planning on being in the ministry in the college, and when I was at Bible college, and they had this A through Z tool store, and every day I'd go past there, and I was like, you know, my dad always said, you know, if you have the right tool, you can fix the car. And so I was planning on being in the ministry and nobody to help me. And so I needed tools, you know, so I could fix the car. And I remember, I mean, every day we'd stop there. My wife, you know, before I'd go to work, she'd go, "What'd you get today?" And well, I got this Snap-on tool, this one wrench. It's normally $17. They had it for $3, honey. What a deal. I mean, every day it was coming. But I'll never forget. You know what got my attention? She goes, "What'd you get today?" "A windshield remover." I still have never used it. But that was just in case a deer came jumping across the road and I hit it and it came through the windshield and I needed to replace my windshield. Don't you understand? God smote my heart and said, "You pass that store every day and you'll buy a tool. Little things. And you know you don't want me like you want those tools." And that was the day I said, I remember, this was, who cares how long ago this was? This was a long time ago. And I remember I said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not controlling my desires. I'm very covetous. And I'm going to get content. I'm going to bring these under control." Do objects create your desires, or does God? Three verses, and we're all done. Would you go to Psalm 37 now? Psalm 37. Three verses on dealing with my appetites, my desires, and learning to be content as a Christian. Look at Psalm 37. Look at verse 1. Ready? And by the way, just because yes, the Lord smote my heart and God gave me revival that day, but I still have to die to self. You understand? Okay. Watch this. Look at Psalm 37, verse 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Watch this. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." This is not saying God will give you everything you desire. It is saying this. If you will allow yourself to enjoy church, enjoy God, enjoy the Bible, enjoy being a Christian, if you will delight yourself in Him, then He changes your wanter. He sanctifies your wanter. And whereas before, "Well, I want a room full of gold and I want Maserati and I want this," you know, and I know a Maserati's an old car and they probably don't even make it anymore, but just humor me, okay? "I want all of these things, and if I can have these things, but the closer I get to God, He changes my wanter." I'll never forget when God broke my heart about souls. I'd never wept for somebody being lost before. And God gave me revival. And it took me, the closer I got to God, the more I wanted what He wanted. If you will delight yourself in the Lord, then He changes your desires and you quit wanting wrong things. And you start wanting what He wants you to have. But the first step is delighting yourself or letting yourself enjoy the things of the Lord. Three verses. I showed you Psalm 37, verse 4. God will give you what you ought to want. Number two, go to Philippians. Now go to the New Testament. We're just going to look at three more verses here. Ready? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Wrong desires, I have learned, are a result in delighting in the wrong things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Watch this. "Not that I speak in," Philippians 4:11, "not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be," there's that word again, "content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He said, "I know how to be in jail, I know how to be out of jail, I know how to be hungry, I know how to be full. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I know we use that verse to say, I can drive the car. I can do this job. But the context of the verse is, I can learn to be a content Christian. I can learn to get a hold of my desires. I don't have to want the wrong things. I can do that through Christ. I can get a hold of myself. It is possible. When I read, look down at verse 18, But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Look at verse 19. We use this verse a lot too. But my God shall supply all your... Does it say needs or need? Need. That's because you have one need. Him. One. And if you could learn to delight yourself in the Lord and enjoy God, then God says, I can give you everything else. If you will delight yourself in me first, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Third verse, and I'm going to have you go to John. I'm going to read to you Mark. You go to John chapter 15. I'm going to read you Mark just a second. While you go to John 15, just listen to me. God won't give you everything you want, but He does give you what you ought to need. When you can't, listen to this closely, when you can't see God's goodness, it's because your wants and what God wants won't line up. God's been good to everybody in here. And the only reason you don't see God's goodness is because you're wanting different things other than what God wants for you. Do you understand? That is a wonderful truth. When you can't see God's goodness, it's because your wants and what God wants don't line up. I want you to have what God wants you to have. You're in John 15. Listen closely. How come Jesus said this then? Therefore I say unto you in Mark 11, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. That's a powerful prayer verse. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have them and you'll receive them. I can honestly say the only reason my prayers have not been answered is because I've prayed for things that God didn't want me to have. Until my wants are sanctified, it would be dangerous to get everything I want. My wanter's not holy. Do you understand? I'm learning to walk with God. I'm learning to get close to Him. But until my wanter is sanctified and cleansed, it would be dangerous to get everything I want. Until God has supplied my appetite, I do not trust my wants. Too often our wants are what our flesh wants us to have, which is based upon what we've been feeding our flesh. If you're listening to the wrong music, it leads you to have the wrong desires. If you're spending time with the wrong crowd, they lead you to have the wrong desires. This is where the danger of Facebook and the stinking social media. It puts you in contact with people that you never would have spent time with, but now you're spending time with them and they are creating desires in you that are not right. 75% of all affairs right now are linked to the social media. I did not say if you're on Facebook, you're going to be an adulterer. I didn't say that. But it is scary. 75% of all the affairs are Facebook related. Facebook and Instagram. You understand? You know why? They're talking and spending time with people they never would have talked with. I mean, within a click. Boom. It's there. Now they have desires that they never would have had. But they're spending time with people that they never should have been with. Reading God's Word and praying serving the Lord, allow God to fix your wanter and your desires and your appetites. You're in John 15, and we're going to... I've only got two more verses to show you. Ready? Here we go. Watch this. Look at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Spend time in the Word of God. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it, there's that word, abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. What a verse. Verse 6. if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. Look at verse 7. Here we go. Here's the key. If ye abide in me, and my words, the word of God, abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The closer you get to God and spend more time in the Bible, it cleanses your wanter, it takes out the bad desires, it puts the good desires in. Now you're praying for the right thing. Now God can answer your prayers. Because you have holy wants. You have holy desires. You're in control. Now I understand what we read before. Just listen. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. Proverbs 10:24, the fear of the wicked it shall be upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. And then finally, the desire of the righteous is only good. You know what scares me? Can I show you the opposite tonight? And here's and then we're going to close with this. Go to Psalms. Go right in the middle of your Bible. Go to Psalms 106. I'd like you to take this verse and think about it. Think about it. Psalm 106. Watch this. I'm going to read real quick verse number 10, but verse number 14 and 15 is what I really like to drive home. Watch this. Verse 10, Psalm 106, verse 10. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. Talking about when Pharaoh was overthrown and the crossing of the Red Sea. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. Verse 13, they soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted or desired exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Watch this. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. If you keep longing for the wrong thing, God, please give it to me. God, please. God says, I can give you things that will destroy you. That verse scares me. That's why I would rather in my morning time, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm telling you what I do. I read my Bible before I pray. You say, well, I pray and read my Bible. I want the words of God and the thoughts of God in my head before I come to the throne of grace. And it is my attempt to get God's thoughts in me before I pray a stupid prayer. Amen? Because here it says, they lusted exceedingly and God gave them what they prayed for. But He sent leanness unto their soul. That is a scary verse to me. We'll close with this. If you keep longing for it, you're going to get what you want, but you're going to lose what you have. You're going to get what you want. Most Americans do. If you don't control your wants, you're going to destroy yourself. You're going to destroy yourself. How do you control your wants? You spend time in the Word of God and you let God sanctify your wanter, your desires. Satisfaction. I'll just end with this. Riches. I'm rich if what I have equals what I want. There's only two ways to be rich. Either raise your haves to equal your wants, or trim your wants to equal your haves. Satisfaction and contentment as a Christian is because of who you are, not what you have. Not what you have. Let's pray. Father, please, I wish, Lord, you could...